today we're going to talk about prayer and how important prayer is. And it's so important in our lives, it really is. In a moment, I'm going to have the ushers, not at this time, but in a moment, I'm going to have them pass out something to you that I want you to keep in your Bibles that we put together years ago. Years ago, Bob Rogers, I heard him speak about the Lord's Prayer. And in my Bible, I have kept something that he handed out forever. It was a little prayer guide and how to pray, and I made copies of it, and I hung onto it. And not too long ago, last fall, I was down at Bob Rogers' church, and he spoke about it again, and I thought, you know, I gotta speak on that and share some of the things that he has shared and how important it is for you and I to pray and go to the Lord in prayer. But it's just a neat thing that God wants to do in our lives. But before we do that, let me make sure this is on. Mike's going to talk. He's going to say his prayers before we do that. So go ahead, Mike.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes.
Now don't interrupt me. I'm praying.
But you called on me.
Called you? No, I didn't call you. I'm praying. Our Father, who art in heaven.
There, you did it again.
Did what?
You called me. You said, Our Father, who art in heaven. Well, here I am. What's on your mind, Michael?
But I didn't mean anything by it. I was, you know, just saying my prayers for the day. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good, kind of like fulfilling a duty.
Well, all right. Go on.
Okay. Hallowed be thy name.
Hold it right there. What do you mean by that?
By what?
By hallowed be thy name.
It means, good grief. I don't know what it means. How in the world should I know? It's just part of the prayer. By the way, what does it mean?
It means honored, holy, I'm wonderful.
Hey, that makes sense. I never thought about what hallowed meant before. Thanks. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Sure. Why not?
What are you doing about it?
Doing? Why, nothing, I guess. I just think it would be kind of neat if you got control of everything down here like you have up there. We're kind of a mess down here, you know.
Yes, I know, but I have got control of you, or do I?
Well, I go to church sometimes.
That isn't what I asked for. What about your bad temper? You've really got a problem there, you know.
I know.
And then there's the way you spend your money.
I know.
It's all about Michael.
It's all about me, just, you know, self-centered me.
And what about the kind of books you read?
Now, hold on just a minute. Stop picking on me. I'm just as good as some of the rest of those people at church.
Excuse me? I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that is to happen, it will have to start with the ones who are praying for it, like you, for example.
Oh, all right, I guess. I do have some hang-ups, okay? Now that you mention it, I could probably name some others.
So could I.
I haven't thought about it very much until now, but I really would like to cut out some of those things I would like to do. You know, be really free.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together, you and me. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Look, Lord, if you don't mind, I need to finish up here. This is taking a lot longer than it normally does. Give us this day our daily bread.
You need to cut out the bread, Michael. You're overweight as it is.
Hey, wait a minute. What is this? Here I was doing my religious duty, and all of a sudden, you break in and remind me of all my hang-ups.
Praying is a dangerous thing. You just might get what you asked for. Remember, you called me, and here I am. It's too late to stop now. Keep praying. Come on, go on.
I'm scared too.
Scared of what?
I know what you'll say.
Try me.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
I've been waiting all morning for this. What about Anne?
See, I knew it. I knew you would bring her up. Why, Lord, she's told lies about me, spread stories. She never paid back the money she owes me. I've sworn to get even with her.
But your prayer. What about your prayer?
I didn't mean it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's quite a load carrying all that bitterness and resentment.
Yes, but I feel better as soon as I get even with her. Boy, have I got some plans for her. She'll wish she'd never been born.
No, you won't feel better. You'll feel worse. Revenge is not sweet. You know how unhappy you are. Well, I can change that now.
You can? How?
Forgive Anne. Then I'll forgive you. And the hate and the sin will be Anne's problem, not yours. You have settled the problem as far as you're concerned.
Oh, you know, you're right. You always are. And more than I want revenge, I want to be right with you. All right. I forgive her.
There now. Wonderful. How do you feel?
Well, not too bad. Not bad at all. In fact, I feel pretty great. You know, I don't think I'll go to bed uptight tonight. I haven't been getting much rest, you know.
Yeah, I know. But you're not through with your prayer. Continue on.
Oh, all right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good. I'll do that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
What do you mean by that?
You know what I mean.
I know. I know what you mean. Yeah, I know.
Go ahead, finish your prayer.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Do you know what would bring me glory? What would really make me happy?
No, but I'd like to know. I want to please you now. I've really made a mess of things, and I truly want to follow you. I can see how great that would be. So tell me, how do I make you happy?
You just did. All right. Good job, Mike. I was going to have Pastor Adam do that, but he'd get mad about that eating bread stuff, so I didn't do that. I didn't want to do that. Men, if you'll go ahead and hand out that other part of the message this morning, I want everybody to have one of these. And like I said, I want you to keep them in your Bible. And it's a really neat thing. It's called a prayer guide. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And it's all about the Lord's Prayer. The good thing about the Lord's Prayer is the disciples asked the Lord, they asked Jesus, how do I pray? How do I pray? And the first thing that Jesus told them was that you had to speak it out. And that's so important that we understand that and look at those things in our lives. So be focused on what the Lord wants to do in your life. Read that with me on your outline there. And after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3 says, Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." James 4:2, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war." And I see that there's a lot of battles going on in the body of Christ today, and a lot has to do because we do not talk or communicate with God. We're all so busy, and a lot of you have a routine in the morning. You're driving your car, you get up, and you're just spouting off these prayers. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but as you looked at that example with Mike, we've got a routine, and we definitely don't like God interrupting. As a matter of fact, we let him know, man, we are kind of busy down here. And I'm always thinking, God, how do you keep this entire planet in check? It's amazing, the responsibility. Our God is so awesome. He's so big. And we've got to understand there's so much that he wants us to learn and to understand. The Lord's Prayer is divided into seven parts. And these seven areas will cover most of the needs in your life. Now, there are many patterns of prayer. There's some of those patterns I laid out on the table a few weeks ago. But there's many patterns of prayer, and our God is a God of pattern. He really is. And God loves it when we pray his word back to him. You say, well, man, I know his word. Why would God? There's something about us taking the time to speak it back. How many know that when we speak out the word, things happen? Amen? And when we're praying the word, things happen. When we sing the word, things happen. I remember that song by Keith Green, you know, "Creating Me a Clean Heart." And how he, many times Keith Green would sing out the words. And I was listening to a CD his of this week, and it just amazed me of his depth of scripture because he just poured it out. And it's so important for you and I to be built up daily with the word, but we also need to communicate by praying to God. Sometimes this passage is called the completed prayer. And I believe that 2007 is a year of completion, and in my life, I want a completed life, amen? I don't want things to come in to rock my world that cause me to lose faith and hope in God. And I love to go back and read the Psalms because David, whenever he was in a struggle, whenever he was battling something, he would start singing the Psalms as we know it today, or he would start reminding God of what God had done for him. And I want to tell you something, man, if you battle depression, and there's a lot of folks in America today that battle discouragement, they battle loneliness, they battle fear, your best weapon is, first of all, accepting Christ as your Savior and quoting the Word of God. Quoting the Word of God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Man, Lord, when I think all these things are going to go wrong, no, you've given me a sound mind. Now I'm not going to believe these lies of the enemy. A sound mind. It's so important that we get that and we understand that. I was listening to a pastor this week. He was speaking, and he was talking, just going through and talking about things of his past. And it started reminding me of the things that God was doing in my past. And I remember being 8, 9 years old, going to youth camp. I don't know if my mom just wanted to get me out of the house for a week or what, but she shipped me off on this bus with a bunch of older kids. There were one or two guys my age. And I remember being up at camp and never experienced anything like this. I mean, all kinds of things to do, to run. It was like Born Free, that old song, you know, and running and doing all kinds of stuff. And then they feed you, and you're sleeping with a bunch of people. It was cool. They had these bunk beds and everything. And I remember I met this one guy, and he said, "You know what we ought to do?" This was about the middle of the week. He said, "You and I need to take all the rocks we can find and go put it in that kid Danny's bed." And I'm like, "Really? Oh, yeah." This guy was a couple years older than me. "We need to do that? Oh, yeah, we need to." So, man, we did. We kept hiding rocks, and we brought them in. I mean, little ones, big ones. And I ain't kidding you. I remember that top bunk was just sagging. And we put the blanket over that, and there were so many rocks, and we were like, yes, look at that. So we just go marching out. Later that night, in that service, they had services all day long. And that night, they said, there's a couple of boys we need to talk to. And we were like, somebody's in trouble. We didn't even think we were. And they called my name, and they called his name. And we thought, what did we do wrong? We didn't hurt nobody. We didn't break nothing. And they said, did you put rocks in the bed of such and such? And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, he did. And I said, he did. We both did. I remember they came and got me at about 6 o'clock the next morning, and we went into this outdoor, huge bathroom facility. And they gave us toothbrushes. And they said, you two are going to clean this the rest of the week, every day. And every day we had a toothbrush, and we had to clean that bathroom. I wanted my mom so bad. I never had to do anything like that in my life. And I remember the last night going to the altar. I love this kid that played the keyboard. He was just so cool. His name was Tim. And he was playing the keyboard. And I went up there. And I'd seen all these kids every night doing stuff at the altar, praying and crying out to God. I'd never done anything like that. And I remember just going and kneeling at the altar in front of that piano. And man, it was just like God just hit me. Nobody was praying for me. It was just like I was out. And I know that I woke up. I wasn't tired from cleaning the toilets with my toothbrush. But I knew God's power had come upon me. And I left that camp a different kid. I left that camp with a heart for God that I'd never had before in my life. Because I saw young people and I heard pastors speak. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes, folks, it requires you and I to get on our knees and start talking to God. We've got to get there. It doesn't matter who's around us. We need to be able to pray. So I want a completed life. And that's what God wants you and I to have, is a completed life. Look at number one there. Our Father, which art in heaven. It's a parent's love. A parent's love. Our Father, which art in heaven. We need God's love. We need a parent's love. It's so important for you and I today to feel like our parents love us. We that are parents, it's so important for us to love our children. And some of you may not have a living parent right now. Maybe you didn't have much of a parent growing up. Maybe it's hard for you to call somebody dad or father because you've got all this hurt. I want to tell you something. God in heaven wants you to call him your dad. You can say our Father which art in heaven, or you can say my dad which is in heaven. It's so important that we put that before us and understand that the Lord wants us to call out his name. Hebrews 3:7 talks about today we can hear his voice. God wants daily communion with us. He wants to speak to us. I read Jeremiah 33:3. He will speak and he will show us great things. You've got to start believing that God has a purpose and a plan. It doesn't matter this morning where you have messed up. The devil, folks, get this, and you've heard me say this time and time again. The devil is great. I started to say magnificent at making you and I feel condemned. He is the author of condemnation, and if he can get you feeling condemned and unworthy, He'll paralyze your life. But I want to tell you something. God does not condemn. He convicts. But our Father in heaven does not condemn. I keep thinking about the prodigal son and him taking all that he had, his inheritance, and he goes forth and he parties it all away, and then he finds himself working for some farmer, and he's eating the slop that they're feeding the pigs. He's lost his good clothes and everything, and he realizes, man, my father's servants had it better than what he did. And he went back, and we all know the story that the father was waiting on him. He was looking every day. That mom was praying every day. God, bring them back. Lord, I know you can do it. It doesn't matter where they're at and what they're doing. Jesus, you're big enough. And it says, when the father saw him a long distance off, he went running to him. I want to tell you something. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. Jesus has open arms. And because of Jesus, the Father in heaven is saying, come back, my child. Come back. I'll take you back. The Bible says, draw near to him. He'll draw near to us. I don't know of anything that you can do to stop God from loving you. Hello? I don't know anything you can do to stop him from loving you. So somebody's here today and you've really messed up and you keep turning away. You know what? God's saying, just start talking to me. Communicate with me. Because I am there for you. I am there. Folks, you've heard me say it, but I say it time and time again. I believe if we have a heart for the Lord, it is hard to lose our salvation. Because our God loves us so much. I can't imagine him creating the earth, going through all this, sending his son to die for us, and not love us enough to make every avenue available for you and I to serve him and love him. And our God being so gracious that he'll take a thief on a cross and tell him he's going to be in paradise with him. He'll take an 83 or an 84 or an 87-year-old person and allow them to come into the kingdom if they'll just believe. It is amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Prayer is to be said out loud. We know that when God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke it into existence. There's something about speaking things. In our marriages, we have a lot of problems because we don't speak things. Then we have some problems because we speak the wrong things. But it's important to communicate, amen? He's grumpy. He's had a long day. He's come home. And he just wants to chill out. And you see that, you recognize that, and you're like, now's not the time to bring up the thing that's broken in the garage that one of the kids broke. It's just not a good time. Let's feed Dad. Let's help Dad feel better. And let's keep praying. But it's important to communicate. So important. I love it when we tell our children now, hey, don't do this. Now, I mean it. If you do this, that'll break. Don't do that. You know what that does to a kid? It's just like, don't do that. Because if I do that, that will break. And as soon as you leave the room or you're gone, and they're like, man, if I just hold it, or if I push it, just to see what it would do. And then, boom, it breaks. And we come back and we're like, didn't we tell you? And they're like, yes. God's like, time and time again, didn't I tell you? And we're like, yes. That was not a good thing, Owen. I know. Aren't you glad, though, he doesn't say, you're out of here. Get out of my house. Don't ever come back. Boom. Some of you have grown up in churches where that's how they preached. That man, if you do all these wrong things, Jesus is going to come back at midnight tonight. And if he does, and you've done those things, you are in hell. Scare you to death, living in fear all the time. Oh, my. You know, that is not the God I serve. His mercy endures forever. He knows our hearts. He knows the sins we're going to commit before we ever commit them, and he still sent his son to die for us. Aren't you glad? Amen. I just wish I could get Shaloy to understand that about me. Honey, if you could understand the mistakes I'm going to make before I make them and still love me and forgive me, oh, that would be so good. Instead of slapping me, I hate that. No, she doesn't do that. She kicks me. She's got a mean fist, though, I tell you. But aren't you glad that God doesn't throw you out? Doesn't pitch you out. Our Father, which art in heaven. It's so important. Matthew 19:19. These aren't scriptures that are on there, but it says to honor your father and your mother and to love your neighbor as yourself. Psalm 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, and some of you have been forsaken, not because of what you have done, but because your parents have walked away from you, then it says in Psalm 27:10, then the Lord will take care of me. The Lord will take care of me. Did you see down in Florida that little baby that was born at 22 weeks that weighed, I don't know, I can't remember, so many ounces? And just a tiny little thing. And then that little baby that they've always said a child outside the womb cannot live that young was getting ready to go home. What a miracle. What a miracle. And do you think that mom was going to give up on that baby? Absolutely not. She was right there with that child. I want to tell you something. When you reach a point where you feel the lowest of the low, our Father which art in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. If we could understand the Father's love, church, we would be so radically changed and so excited about serving God because of all that he's done, we couldn't help but share his love with people. Instead, what we do is we get caught up with our earthly parents. Well, that no good dad of mine, that mean mom. I want to tell you something. God put you in that family. And I want to tell you something. There was a purpose. And what the devil meant for bad, God can turn anything into good. And you got to quit walking around with a crutch and blaming that mom or that dad and slapping everybody. You got to say, hey, I'm going to quit stumbling around. It's going to be a stepping stone. I'm going to get up and say, man, I have survived, and Jesus has made me a better person because of that. I know somebody say, well, man, I got beat so many times. You don't know what beatings are. My mom's laughing, but it's the truth. She told me, she told me that one time she told me not to go over and shoot pigeons with my buddy on the railroad tracks, and of course I did. And she said, for 7 to 8 blocks, I had your hand. Now, don't think bad of my mom. You got to remember, she's single. She's trying to raise us, you know, as a single Christian mom. She said, I took that belt and I wore you out for 7 blocks. I don't remember it. I don't remember it. But all I know is I had a tiny little bottom. And I know why it was so tiny growing up. But I want to tell you something. It didn't make me love my mom less. It didn't make me, because you know what? She was doing what she thought was right. My mom loved to pop my mouth. I remember when we would say cuss words, she'd get that bar of soap out, get us in there, grab me by the back of the head, open it up right now, and just, and you're blowing out bubbles, you're like, she's like, don't cuss. And I put 3 guys in the hospital because I threw rocks. I mean, I love baseball, but I had a terrible habit of throwing rocks. I mean, I split guys' heads open. And she would lay my hands on the table and take a big ruler, and she would slam it on my knuckles and say, "Do not throw rocks!" And I'd be like, "Oh!" So I went to throwing walnuts when they were green. And then I got it for that. And you would say, "Oh, man, that's terrible." No, man, I love my mom to death. She was doing what she knew to do. I mean, we'd be at somebody's house, and we'd go running through, and my dad would say, "You guys act like a bunch of wild Indians." He'd grab my brother and both throw us down, take his knuckles, and crack our head. And every time we moved, he'd crack our head. We'd be like, my cousins would be over there and be like, "Crack your head. All right, don't." You say, "Oh, man, that was terrible." No, that wasn't. I needed it. Now, hear me out. I needed it. And what you've got to understand, Faye wasn't even there. What you got to understand is this, church. You can't compare God to your earthly parents, amen? Because God's love and mercy is so great. Yes, there are consequences for our sins. There are consequences for going out and making wrong choices. If you rob a bank, you're going to go to prison. If you go out and do these things, there are consequences. If you've been living an adulterous life and doing all these kinds of things, and then you find out you have AIDS, out of God's mercy, He may heal you, but the consequence is you've got AIDS and you may die of that. So I'm not negating the consequences, but what I'm trying to tell you is your Father in heaven loves you so much. He loves you so much. Now, if you'll look on your outline, the prayer guide, there are names of the Lord, and I went ahead and put the 21 names of the Lord there with what they mean and some of the scriptures, not all the scriptures, but some of the scriptures as to where those names are found. And when you're praying, "Our Father, which art in heaven," you can say Adonai. You can cry that out to the Lord. The Lord, my great Lord. Or El, the strong one. And we can go through all these, but there's different ways. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. God loves it when you say to Him, "Our Father which art in heaven, Jehovah Jireh, my provider." God loves that when we speak those things to Him. Because we are reminding Him of what He does and who He is, and He wants to provide for His children. How many kids, when you go to dad, when my kids come to me, especially when they were little, they don't do this as much anymore, but I remember Jared coming to me saying, "Dad, I just want you to know, you're my hero." I'm like, "Oh yeah, man. Your daddy can do anything. Don't forget it, buddy. Yeah." And I love that. I love that. He knows different now, but I love that when it was a... Or my girls, I remember Kirsten when she was only like 6 saying, "Daddy, you're the best daddy in the world. And when I get older, I'm going to marry you." I said, "Baby, you can't marry me, but you got that first part right. Would you go tell mommy how good I am?" But I want to tell you something. When you tell your Father and you describe Him with words that are in the Word of God, that is an awesome thing to do to God. So we need to understand that we need to do that. John 10:17, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." He's talking here about Jesus. John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So we need to understand that our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And these are the names. We need to be bold with his name. We need to speak it out time and time again. How many do that? You do speak out different names. Well, I'm telling you, I want you to start doing that because the Lord wants you to do it. It's so important that we speak out those names and let God know how much we love him. Our Father, which art in heaven. So important that we do that. We need to begin to declare what your Heavenly Father says about us. He speaks things over us throughout his word all the time. He says that in Christ, I am whatever the word says I am. Say that with me. I am whatever the word says I am. Say that again. I am whatever the word says I am. And the word is from God. In Christ, I am of Christ. In Christ, I am a new creation. In Christ, I've been created in his image. I'm his workmanship. I've been crucified with him. I've been called by his name. In Christ, I am in the body of Christ, my beloved's, and he is mine. I'm married unto him. I'm in the vine. In Christ, I'm part of being a light in the world. I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. I have an inheritance. In Christ, I'm never alone. I'm an intercessor. I'm my brother's keeper. I'm without spot or blemish. I'm full of energy. I'm healthy, fit, and trim. Amen? Okay, we can work on the trim part. All right. I'm healed by his stripes. I'm healed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm made whole. In Christ, I'm forbidding any symptoms to come upon me. Amen? I'm prospering even as my soul prospers. I did a whole message on that. When we let the soul take over for the spirit, we're in trouble. But as we allow our mind, will, and emotions to prosper in the Lord, we prosper. That's a good thing. So don't be soulish. In Christ, I'm believing that my need is met. I'm going to please God in my prosperity. I'm sitting at the table of plenty. Man, I love that. Lord, I'm sitting at the table of plenty. When the world tells me I don't have, when the world tries to beat me down, I remind myself, my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I'm telling you, this is not my eternal home. Heaven is where I'm going to be. I'm just passing through here. My Father owns the cattle. And nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible with God. In Christ, I'm a good tither and steward. In Christ, I'm a lender and not a borrower. In Christ, I'm a giver and a receiver. In Christ, I'm prosperous. I'm a doer of the word. I use my authority. I'm a creator. I'm living in faith and victory. I'm a possibility thinker. I'm born of God, freely receiving all the things from God, given all things that pertain unto life and godliness, delighting myself in the Lord, changing the world around me, flowing in the power of the Holy Ghost, without spot or wrinkle, not moved by what I see or feel, praying according to God's will, not afraid, rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar, a channel for God's blessing, prospering as my soul prospers, resurrected, sanctified, holy, clean, pure, talented, reasonable, generous, gracious. I've got a good wife. I am a good husband. She's a great homemaker. That's who we are. We need to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. That's you. I'm not done. You need some more. In Christ, I'm obedient to God. I'm appreciative. I'm considerate. I'm gentle. I'm exceedingly joyful. Some of you need a dose of joy. You look like a sourpuss. You need some joy poured out on you. The oil of gladness. In Christ, I'm of perfect beauty. Some of you ladies need to get in the mirror every night after the makeup's off. And you need to say, honey, come here. Come here, baby. In Christ, I am of perfect beauty. And he'll be like, hey, baby. Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway. You need to believe that. We get in front of the mirror and we're telling ourselves how bad we look. And you know what? That's not edifying us in the Lord. Amen? I'm praying with boldness. I'm confident that great is the peace of my child, for he is taught of the Lord. I'm renewed in my youth. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I'm confident God is perfecting me. I'm using my authority over the devil. 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 I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the first and not the last. Somebody's got to get this morning. Oh, but you don't know my bills. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the first and not the last. I'm confident that God, oh, this is a good one, man. I'm confident that God is perfecting me, baby. It's not quite there yet, but perfection's coming. I mean, come on. Man, when I get to heaven, you're going to see me doing cartwheels, flips, and everything. And I'm going to get in heaven and split down on the splits, jump back up and say, I've arrived! Now, that's how you should feel about getting there, amen? Amen? I have arrived! Some of you didn't think I would make it, but I'm here! Surprise, surprise, surprise! Come on, and some of them are going to do cartwheels and flip in front of you and say, I've arrived too! And you're going to be like, whoa! I can't wait to get there. Come on. I'm operating in the God kind of faith. I'm a soul winner. I'm resting in Him. I'm a good mother. I'm a good father. I'm a good daughter. I'm a good son. I'm a good provider. I'm a good friend. I'm a good employee. I'm a good worker. I'm wise and instructed. I'm calm, peaceful, strong, bold, protected, walking in His perfect will. I'm merciful. I'm trustworthy. I've got God's knowledge. That's who I am in Christ. Somebody needs to be rejoicing right now because you needed that. That's who I am. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed out begging for bread. Man, if He cares about those birds, how much more He cares about me? I don't want to be eating no bird seed. God's got something better for me. You can laugh about that, but that's the truth. He's got something better. Let's look at number two, the presence of God. The presence of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the presence of God. We need to understand. We're just going to go through a few of these names this morning, but we need to understand who God is. That first name there is Jehovah, Tsidkenu. Tsidkenu, hallowed be thy name. Say that with me. Jehovah, Tsidkenu. Jehovah, Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteous. The Lord, our righteous, righteousness. Psalm 7:17 says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Psalm 23:3. There's so many scriptures that we can look at here. Jeremiah 23:5-6. Ezekiel 36:26-27. 2 Corinthians 5:21. They all talk about his righteousness. Psalm 119, 142. The righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Proverbs 10:2. We need to understand that the Lord is our righteousness. Jesus came and he took and bore our sins and he made a way. Now you and I are the righteousness of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the righteousness of God. Tell him that this morning. You are the righteousness of God. Let's look at the next point there. B, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Remember that old song we used to sing years ago? Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh. There are as many times as I am praying, I am singing that song. And you know what? God in heaven's just like, Jehovah Jireh, give it to him. My provider, oh, give it to him. His grace. I believe that. Now, some of you don't believe, but that's how many believe God just wants to pour it out? Come on. That we got to get this in our heads that Jehovah Jireh is our provider, and he's just up there saying, you have not because you ask not. Come on. Because we're saying, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, we go back to the hee-haw thing again, you know. Gloom, despair. Agony on me, deep dark depression. What is excessive misery? If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony. Some of you are junior samples. You know, you got your car lot, and you can't sell a thing, and life is treating you bad, and God's like, I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Man, I just want to say, I feel good. Because I'm telling you, I know who's in my life. Do I have it all together? No. Man, I hang around Michael Schaefer. You got to know, man. He gets me in trouble all the time. Michael's a great encourager. We go to play a golf in a two-man tournament. I get ready to hit the ball out of the sand. I hit it about 3 feet. He's like, that was a wussy shot. What are you doing, man? We're here to win. I'm like, man, where did that come from, man? I'm like, the great encourager. I found this on the pulpit this morning. He spent 3 weeks trying to tear an Indianapolis phone book in two. And he did it. All because I took a Lafayette phone book upstairs with the children in God's gym. And I said, Frank, tear this in two. No, Josh, tear this in two. They can't do it. Oh, man. Josh is like, my dad can. Michael, come over here and tear this in two. And Michael's like, hang on a second. Give me a minute. He's sweating, man. And it's like, I mean, he's just going on. And I'm like, give me the book, man. I got to get on with the lesson. And so what's he do, man? He calls me. I'm practicing. So 3 weeks later, baby, it's laying right here. Good job, Michael Schaefer. You are the man. It's okay to have fun in God's kingdom. Everybody say Jehovah Jireh. My provider. Let's look at the next one on the back side there. We're not going to get through these today. That's okay. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord who heals. Oh my. Oh my. Do you know you could be, emotionally abused growing up, like I was. Physically abused growing up, like I was. And do you know that God's grace and healing power can touch your emotions? He can touch your body physically. He is the God who heals spirit, soul, and body. Hello. You don't have to live in your past and blame everybody. You can say, thank God that that 5'2" woman, or 5', she thinks she's 4'11" and going to heaven, but used that rod of correction so that I would not be spoiled. Now, some of you are like, well, I don't believe in spanking. That's great. You know what? I don't either. Just ask my kids. They probably have only gotten 5 in their life from me. I was beat so much, I just couldn't do it, you know. No. No. No, not really. Not really. No. Because, you know, it all depends on the personality of the child. Amen? Some kids are very obedient. Some kids just, with my kids, all I had to do is just look at them and say, don't. And they were like, ah. I'd walk in and Shloy's like, you could get up here and you got to give him one right now. I'd walk in and say, son, you know, I think it's going to hurt me more. It hurts you. And he's already crying. Ah! And I'm like, cry louder. Ah! Okay. And I mean it. Don't you ever do that again. All right. Praise the Lord. No, I didn't do that. She's like, did you do? No, I did not do that. I did not do that. I could be wrong. But I want to tell you something. He is the God who heals. He heals our emotions. I'm so grateful. He heals our body. I'm so grateful. He's told me he wouldn't give me more than I could bear. I'm so grateful. Now, there are times we got to walk through some stuff. Some of you just want it all now. No problems, you know. No. We're going to walk through some stuff because we're going to be persecuted. You know, we're going to face trials. And there's going to be consequences because of some of our dumb decisions. We've got to understand that. Some of you are in a marriage right now and that person was not saved. Your family said, don't do this. This is not of God. Don't be unequally yoked. And you were like, I love him or I love her. And, you know, I'm going this way. Now, you've been living some hell on earth. Okay? But I want to tell you something. God can still work in your situation. It's not hopeless. You've had some consequences. But God can. He can help. And if you keep believing, I'm going to believe it, that God is going to save that spouse. You got a prodigal son or daughter. Don't throw in the towel. God can bring them home. We've got to understand that. Look at D, Jehovah Shalom. Means the Lord is peace. You're praying, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And maybe you're struggling with worry and cares. And man, your mind, you got these just thoughts attacking you. You are Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, my God of peace. Lord, right now, give me peace in my mind. He can do that. He can do that. He wants to do that. I love it when the Lord comes through. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of all wheat. Psalm 147:14. The length of thy days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 3:2. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. There's the key to peace. Keep your mind on him and trust. Trust. You know what, God? I just know you're going to work with these coworkers. You're going to save them. You're going to touch their lives. You're going to whatever. But if you're not going to continue to trust God, and then you're lashing out every minute and telling them what jerks they are, and then you tell them the next day, you know what, baby, there's a hell, and you're going to burn red hot. I'm telling you, you're going to burn red hot. Love you, man. Praise God. No, that didn't work. You got to trust God. You're not going to win them over by telling them they're burning red hot. I'm telling you, there are people. It reminds me of some of those guys on campus that used to preach over there. Some of the craziest people I've ever met in my life. There's one guy get out there to preach in front of these Purdue students now. We're talking an academic place. Remember this, Michael? And Brother Mac, God is going to come with a ray gun. And the kids are all sitting there, and I'm walking by like, what did he just say? And he does it again. God is going to come with a ray gun. And he's going to zap you all. And I'm like, oh, please help me. And I mean that sometimes, now somebody, maybe there was some fruit there. I'm not there. But I'm saying that, you know what? Trying to scare the hell out of people doesn't always work. Amen? Because I've seen people that have been scared that end up turning away from God. God is looking for a vessel that wants to yield their will to him. Peace. All right, stand with me. We're going to stop there. We'll finish this up next week. You got to bring your outline next week, and you got to bring your prayer guide. Just bow your heads with me. I want the worship team to come up. We'll sing that last song in closing today. Just bow your heads for a moment and close your eyes. I want you to know, first and foremost this morning, that God wants you to talk to him. Jesus told the disciples, this is how you speak to the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. God loves that pattern of prayer. He loves that pattern of prayer. And some of you are here this morning and you can't refer to God as a Father. And it's because of what's happened in your past. The hurt, the ache, the loneliness, the rejection. And it's been very difficult for you. I'm just going to ask you this morning to open yourself up and say, Jesus, you came and you died for me. But the reason that you came was because the Father loved me so much that he sent you. I want to know more about the Father's love. This is just a prayer guide that you can pray every day. You can look on there and read some of that, and it teaches you how to pray about for your family. But it's just communicating with God, because some people don't even know how to pray. But I'm telling you, as you go through this, you spend that time praying, fasting, getting the word, it's amazing how your life can be turned around. But you're here this morning and you say, Owen, I've just been believing so much condemnation. Or I don't fully understand the Father's love. Would you just pray for me to open myself up and to become vulnerable again? Because I want to know the Father's love. I want to know that grace and that mercy and that unconditional love. I want to know that he's been looking and looking like the dad of the prodigal son, and he just can't wait to embrace me, to give me a ring, to robe me again, to kill the fatted calf. That's what he did. He took his best calf and he killed it in a celebration to eat, because that which was lost had come home. you're here this morning and you just say, man, I'm struggling with receiving the Father's love. Maybe your dad's never really displayed it. That's okay. God can show you what it is anyway. He's so big. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Christians praying right now. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand and say, just remember me in prayer. I see that hand. Yes. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hands going up everywhere. Anybody else? You know, it just breaks my heart to see the devil, how he's made some people feel so unworthy because of what they've come out of. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus has made you worthy. He's made you worthy. It doesn't matter how many times that dad told you you'd never amount to anything, or you never knew your dad. Is there anybody else? Maybe it was the other parent that did that. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Maybe you were the product of a divorce and it just tore your family apart. Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for believing the lies. You came because the Father sent you, and He loves me so much. Help me to receive the Father's love. Holy Spirit, you can do that. Pour it in. I just want to soak up all of God. I'm sorry for being guarded. Change me in my outlook, in my family, in the workplace, when I'm in your house. I give you permission. I love you. You're my dad. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for all these that lifted their hand this morning, that God, you would embrace them with your love, and you would help them to see, God, how much you care about them. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We love you today, God. Lord, bless these people, your people today. Help them to go out and make a difference. Bless them in their coming and their going. Allow them to speak life in their homes and pour out so much of your love in their lives as they go forth. We ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you. Sing this as you go.